did active duty for a good bit, 8.5 years. Was in 275. I was in 223 Infantry Battalion of the 3rd Strike Brigade, no longer there. And then I went to try out for SF, and I did 1st Group for a little bit, and then transitioned over 19th Group.
I'm Joe C. Mandel, and welcome to Raven Conversation. And today I'm joined by Master Sergeant Satara Chum. He is with Special Operations Detachment Pacific, the 56th TIOG, fantastic unit. Once again, we'll continue to stop the TIOG. Special Forces, Ranger Regiment. I've always known him in the Guard. I've always known you'd be around the Guard, a lot of different positions. Here to share his story about being in the Guard, kind of your family story, coming from Thailand, and what you do now. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for welcoming me here. And I'm a little nervous. This is just like pre-jump. I'm always nervous, afraid of heights.
Yeah.
I'm a natural introvert, so when I'm in the office, I'm with friends and we're working, and I can be loud and laughing. Super nervous. But yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So easiest question you'll probably answer: intro and background on yourself.
Yes, sir. So I was born in 1985 in a refugee camp in Thailand near the border of Cambodia. Used to be called Khao Yai, now it's a monumental historical site of some sort. I never got to go back, even with all the Cobra Golds and IPCs and FPCs. It's just too far south. But born in there, June 1985, so I'm hitting the big 4-0 pretty soon. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's an eye-opener when you turn 40, and then you're like, oh, it's not so bad. But.
Yes, sir. And then from there, my family immigrated initially to the Philippines, where we stayed in another refugee camp. I was about maybe 2.5 or so, and then lived until about 10 years old in Tacoma, Washington, growing up here, and east side of Tacoma, Chalashan area. And then, at middle school, that's when I went down to Long Beach, California, and then I joined the active army in 2003. Yep, did active duty for a good bit, 8.5 years. Was in 275. I was in 223 Infantry Battalion of the 3rd Strike Brigade, no longer there. And then I went to try out for SF, and I did 1st Group for a little bit, and then transitioned over 19th Group. From 19th, did a bunch of different jobs, one of them being in this building, so it's a little bit of a returning back to the building one. It's a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved working here, but it was long hours, a lot of work. Well worth it, though. And then after a little bit of time with other units, then I went over to the SODP. I got selected to go there. And I've been back at 56 TIOG. Like, that's the home. That's where everybody is, and I love it.
Yeah. So how'd you learn about the Guard?
It was by happenstance. When I left active duty, I originally wanted to go to another state, but they didn't have any slots. And then the RCCC recruiter over at active duty at First Corps was like, hey, there's a spot in Washington Guard. You know they have a 19th group there? And I didn't know. I picked up the phone, and there was a kill, and
we know that McNally.
Ben McNally, and then he just put me in, and you know, a couple months later, I get out, and I'm in 19th Group ACO. Loved it. Got to go on a deployment to Afghanistan, doing the commando mission under Major Harrell at the time. It was great. I mean, we got to do the thing that we wanted to do. At least for me, I'm a GWAT baby. Like, I came in to do that thing. Mm-hmm. And granted, SF has a UW primary focus. But I personally just like that DA part of it. Everything else, that's great. You know, it's important. Yeah, you know. But I just have a more infantry focus on that, and that's what drives me to keep going in the Army. After ACO 119th, I fell into learning about SOD when I was in recruiting, and Major Harrell approached me at the gas station as I'm pumping the GSA, getting ready to go down to Portland.
Hey, you want to come join the SOD?
He's like, hey, you want to? Yeah. And then I was like, I just told him, wherever you're going, I'm going, sir. Yeah. And then we made it happen, and we went to Afghanistan, and we were down in RC South, AOB South, and the southern part of Afghanistan. Got to see all kinds of crazy stuff. A different mission.
Yeah.
Which, as a young soldier, a young Green Beret coming in active duty, that was what I wanted, was that small team, 2 to 3 man, and you have some attachments, but you just go do thy bidding, whatever it may be. If the general 4-star and all the way down from Sujudif down to, you know, Sodif and so forth, and see Sujudif like, hey, go do this, make it happen.
That's
what I came in to do. It's mission intent. We figure out the why and the how. And then we got to go over everywhere and got into a bunch of green on blues, which is awesome. Now, it's not awesome in that when people get hurt, but it's great. That's what you came for. You came for the firefights or the potential firefights. So I'd say at the end of the day that that's still kind of what drives me and then returned me to special operations just because of the opportunity to do more. The opportunity to do more in theater or even to influence more at a different level. As much as I love the tactical level, and that's always going to be the thing that gets me back in, but I'm also very amazed at the operational and even strategic effects we may have. And so Special Operations, Detached Pacific, being aligned to the TSOC over in the Pacific there in SOCPAC, we get to see that side of the COCOM and just how the little bit, a 40-man element such as SOD-P can do this one little thing with an exercise and then have this much go across the media waves and the network, you know?
So for those that don't know, Special Operations Detachment Pacific, it's part of the Special Operations alignment in Korea. I think the SOD recently deployed to Korea a few years ago even.
Actually, that was ACO.
Oh, ACO did, that's right.
We are aligned with SOCPAC in Hawaii.
Okay.
And then they kind of own that, for the most part, the Spec Ops nexus that is there, at least for that portion. There's others, but...
But it's like a multifaceted. I mean, it's not just like one mission. Right. What does a typical drill weekend look for you guys?
So,
which is not very typical, so...
No. SFIDT is probably the most... At least I get a break. We just do admin and medical. But typical drill in SOD-P, very similar to ACO, 119th, where there's shooting, you're doing some sort of training, you're doing jumping, and then you're also doing a lot of mission analysis. That's the other piece of it that that I learned to appreciate about SOD is that it's very high level. What we understand is MDMP, and then we also transition to learn more about the JPP side of the house. Joint planning process, and so for me as an NCO, you get to kind of see the joint aspect of military decision making process, and I don't necessarily love that. However, I find it interesting to a degree. Like, okay, cool. If the more I know of this, the more I can help, you know, my command team, or the more I can help my folks too, my soldiers in the unit to better facilitate this mission. You know, the unit in itself is not set to be the primary maneuver element of some sort, like SF or infantry. However, being a GB, you guys need an 18 Bravo? Let's do this. So that's what I love about being inside. It's kind of one of those, you can go as hard as you want to, or you can go with the status quo, which is, hey, this is the mission. This is what your job is. Stick with that. Or you can be like one of our folks now, just graduated airborne school, and another one is going to go to Jumpmaster. And then you have another set of folks, officers and enlisted, pushing out to go support another mission in another part of PACOM on top of getting ready for a deployment coming up. So,
yeah, and I think that's kind of across the board in the 56. You've got units that you can either go as hard as you want and you can do a ton of stuff, or you can just kind of stick with the status quo, and which is fine. There's no issues there. It's just checking the boxes, right? It's the same in MI and PA and IO. It's as much or as little as you want to do. As long as you're contributing in some way.
Yes, sir. When I got back to the SOD, definitely feeling older, one thing I wanted to reinvigorate in SOD was, hey, let's get back to, you know, doing demo breaching and shooting and fast roping and jumping out of plane, all these things, right? So I volunteered to do a joint water jump with first group. Great times. And I ended up going... swim tests, ran to IMC, ran into fast rope that night until 1 in the morning, and then the 05 FMC at American Lake, and then a water jump. And oh my goodness, I was just very, I was smoked by the end of that day. But I needed to know that, hey, I can still do a little bit of stuff. And I invite anyone that wants to do not just special operations, but just the basic stuff, you know, going to swim tests or going to do fast rope. Look, that's all Army stuff. That's what we came for, right? At least is what I came for. But so the opportunity is there. But that's what I love about this unit and the ability to do these things, but have the risk assessment covered by our boss, because he's like, hey, you guys are trained, do your thing.
Yeah. So to kind of switch topics, you already started mentioning being born in Thailand.
Oh, yes, sir.
Obviously, we've had a relationship with Thailand for the last 20 plus years as state partnership program partners. Talk about that ability to go back every once in a while, knowing like, hey, I was born here, but not being able to actually go see where you were born, obviously. Sure. What's that feeling for you every time you go back?
If it feels foreign, right? Being an American, growing up here, obviously being in two different worlds, right? Two worlds in one person kind of thing, right? But it also feels very reconnecting and meeting the people. Obviously, I didn't learn Thai until I went to the Q course. And so going back there and connecting with them in that way, I'm speaking Thai, but I'm speaking it from a frame of, an American frame of language, right? So I grew up speaking Cambodian. Both my parents are, you know, Cambodian and Thai, so I'm like the cross between those worlds. And then you understand the culture a little bit better, but you also understand some of the things that that make us a little bit different, but good. And when we went to this last Cobra Gold 25 IPC, I got to see where my mom was born in Korat, or Nakhon Ratchasima. That's where we had our staff X last time. And I got to see the people and just reconnecting with them and just talking about where my mom was born, and hopefully taking her someday back to check it out. But personally, it was just fulfilling and new but familiar all in one. It's like a mixed bag. And I'll be going again. Only thing I don't like is the long flight.
Yeah, the long flight. the 26 hours of travel.
Why can't Thailand just be right next door?
Yeah, it is definitely a long flight. And once you've done it once, you never get over how long it is.
So far away.
Yeah. So coming into the States, did you ever anticipate coming back to Washington, or was it just kind of luck of the draw?
So that right there is what I preach about the Army, military in general, right? Specifically my initial entry was through the Army. All you have to do is raise your hand. I want to go airborne. Raise your hand. I want to go to the West Coast. Well, these are the certain units in the West Coast that you can go, but you got to go try out for RIP. At the time, it was RIP. Now it's RAS. And then even passing RIP, you got to fight your buddies to get that last slot to go to 275. So what I love about the military in general is you get to make your destiny. Pick your journey. You know, do your thing. As long as you work, put the work in, and just raise your hand. And and that's kind of like part of my own internal plan, and it worked out the way I needed to. And then when it was time to be finished up with 275 and going to the infantry, and then realizing, oh, I can be called out to go to another unit across the nation. And most of my family is here on the West Coast, so I said, okay, let's go try it for SF. So it's it's a little bit of a personal plan, sir. And then put in the work to get past those gates.
Yeah. Did you ever think it would lead to the Guard at all, or do you think you would always stay active duty? Or?
I came in and I was like, I'm gonna be a 20-year Ranger. Blah 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 blah. You know, I was you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, now that I'm older, it's good. Sometimes you need to drink the Kool-Aid. You know, and sometimes like you need to believe in this thing to get you to the next thing, and that's okay. You know, it's kind of like watching a movie as a kid, and you're like, man, this movie's great. And as you get older, you realize, this movie's so corny. Why did I like this? You know? And that's no hit on all the units I mentioned. I'm just saying, at the time, your outlook's different. You know, now that you're older, you're realizing, okay, there's purpose in different things in different phases. And you just accept that it's a good thing. And now it's coming to the realization for me to accept in a good way that, hey, you're really lucky. Like, all of us really lucky in the 20 plus years of GWAT time and volunteering to go. You still got your limbs. You still run around, do things you want to do, and be close to family. And so I'm always super appreciative of that and thinking about that every day. Maybe a little too much sometimes, usually in the gym time. So we sit there and listen to music and just thinking about all these great things that are happening. And soon, greater things are going to happen. And it's, you just got to believe it, you know, it's like drinking the Kool-Aid. So, you know, my Kool-Aid now is, hey, we're just going to keep winning. This is the way it is.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably forged in family upbringing, but, you know, and then fostered more in the military. Like, you just don't quit. You keep winning. You keep fighting. And one thing I want to highlight was working over here with Colonel Osmer and back in the G3. I used to tell myself, he's going to keep giving me a hill to climb. Okay, here, you figure out the mope stuff. Now, here's another thing, and another thing, and another thing. And mind you, it's a lot to learn. But I kept telling myself, all right, roger that. Let's give me another hill. I will crush it. I'll keep going up that hill until I get to the very top, and I get this boulder, I'll just crush the city below me. That was just kind of my mentality. Come on, let's go. Thank you, sir. May I have another, you know?
Yeah, Colonel Osmer. Shout out to Colonel Osmer. He's good at that, though, right? Like, that's something he was really good at. He's always good at. Yep. Is not just pushing you to move forward, but pushing you to continually move forward in some way.
Yes, sir. And so with Colonel Osmer and a few other leaders, too, that's the other thing that I've been super lucky to kind of run into in my time, was constantly having leaders that you're just looking up to, like the next thing and the next thing. So they say you don't always want to meet your heroes, because then you find out they're human, kind of like your parents, you know, like they're your first heroes. You find out they're human, they make mistakes. But I'd say I'm lucky I got to meet my heroes. I'm living it every day. I even have, like, my teammates who are just great at what they do. Like, they make my job easy over at the SOD. And it's just, I'm just super lucky. Every time I think about it and you see my eyes go back up there, I'm just like, man, this is so freaking amazing. You know? I wish, where was this, like, 20 years ago?
you've already given, honestly, 1,000 different amazing kind of pieces of advice. What are some of those final pieces of advice you'd give somebody interested in not just joining the Guard, but joining the community of special operations, something like that?
I'm not saying you can't do it if you're older, but do it while you're young. Get hurt while you're young. Make the mistakes now. Go to selection twice. Go to Ranger School. And for those of you that want to go be a Green Beret, great. Good on you. I will push that. But there's Ranger School. That's freaking hard, too. Do that and see if that's a thing that pushes you to another pathway. But I'd say do hard things. Keep working out. Keep lifting heavy. and then keep running, all that good stuff. That's how you stay young. You just keep doing the things that you need to do to be better every day. And then the last piece, and this is kind of surmising, just kind of my professional and personal life outlook is, it's not about how you start. And I learned this from one of my Muay Thai instructors here in South Tacoma. It's not about how you start, it's how you finish. And he said something about, you don't have to be great to start, but you got to start to be great. Yeah, so those two key things kind of resonate in my mind. Like, every day, it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. And right now, you're just going to keep winning. Like, we're all just going to keep winning no matter what. No matter what it is. So what, you got, let's say, active duty. You got staff duty. Hey, bro, you got 24 hours to hang out with your buddies and watch TV all night. There you go, you're winning. Whatever, right?
That is a true statement.
You know, so. And I got 24-hour access to the gym. I'm winning. That's free gym. I'm going there and lift all day. Whatever, you know? So really just sometimes you have to indoctrinate your mind to just focus on the prize and not so much the obstacle. Okay. I can go all day.
No, I love it. I love it. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, man, and truly, like, sharing your story, your positive outlook is always so great. Like, you're always smiling, you're always happy about something. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing that.
Sounds kind of crazy, but I'm constantly making fun of everybody in the room. You know, I'm going to my office and I'm making fun of my buddies. You know, and then we joke back and forth. Yesterday it was Lumpia Wednesdays. Some of us get that, and then other times we're just talking about whatever we're dealing with. DTS, I don't know. We're just making fun of whatever the work is, so that way work is fun. And that's the other thing too, is have fun.
Yeah.
Just have fun.
Yeah, exactly. Have fun. It's easy. So, no, I appreciate you coming on. If you like the video, give it a like. If you have any comments or questions, throw them in the chat. Subscribe for future videos. And, brother, I appreciate it.
Sir, thank you, sir.